Hi, everyone. This is Dionysia Lafay, and I would like to welcome you today to the Become Your Inner Siren Summit. We have an amazing expert with us today, and her name is Anaya. And I'm going to tell you a little bit about why I chose Anaya to be an expert on this summit and why you're going to love her. Anaya offers deep transformational work around clearing our wounds and tapping into the tremendous power we hold there. And I experience her as a woman who has really cultivated her capacity to be extremely soft and feminine and receptive in a way that's super powerful and vibrant. And so she really brings something to the reason that we're doing this summit to begin with, which is that I really feel that women finding an authentic expression of their sensuality gives us a deeper sense of personal empowerment, and that when we're really deeply connected to our bodies and in our sensual nature, that spills over into the enjoyment of all of the aspects of our lives, our relationships with our beloved, with our children, with ourselves, our work, our career, our passions, our health and well-being. And so I just really think it's time for us as women to be having this conversation about how we can be more in touch with our sensuality every day and be offering that in an authentic way in our world. So with that said, I am just delighted to welcome you, Anaya, to this summit, and I am so grateful to you for joining us today.
Thank you so much, Dionysia.
Yeah, lovely. It's beautiful to have you here, and I'm excited for all that you have to share about our wound spaces, and specifically today, I would love to dive into what you can tell us about your work with the seven gates.
Okay, well, I was obviously just listening into your intro about sexuality and the sexual force, and I wonder if I could just add another massive part, which is that the sexual force is the creative force. And this is definitely the angle that is really inspiring me throughout 2013. So, yes, indeed, working in all those ways that you said at the beautiful welcome to this seminar, but with the added part that there is a deep unearthing and a deep remembering that the feminine principle has the connection with the creative force. So the seven gates is like a mini chakra system. So working with the seven forces of creation, ranging from the most dense to the most subtle, a woman is able to not only reclaim the royal road from the beginning of the yoni all the way to the throne of the womb, but she's also able to harness the actual co-creative manifesting agents that is also lying embedded within the sexual force.
Mm-hmm. Yes, because so we know that our sexuality, our sexual energy is the creative force for life. It's how we all came to be here.
That's right.
And we can really tap into that energy for creating in so many other kinds of ways in our lives as well.
Exactly, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so thank you for bringing that piece and for naming that into what we're doing. And I'd love to explore with you how you see that when we really tap into that, how do we bring that into our lives as a creative force?
Well, if it's a woman who isn't in partnership at the moment, the first step would be to absolutely cultivate the inner masculine and feminine. So the inner masculine, this is our consciousness. This is our ability to navigate through awareness. So what would that look like? That would look like sitting in meditation, eyes closed, and there's an aspect of you that is traveling, an aspect of you that is seeing, navigating, receiving impressions, ideas, and all things like that. So that's the inner masculine. As well as, and this will look like strength, courage, stamina, success, drive, motivation. This is how he looks on the outside. And so for a woman to be able to really harness this co-creative ability to sincerely manifest, she will definitely need to have a beautiful, harmonious balance of her inner masculine and inner feminine. Then when she comes into relationship, that outer masculine will now have a physical form. And I feel this is when the most authentic and unlimited path of manifestation is possible, when the man and the woman work together through sexuality to truly co-create. But before we can really, truly do that, and this is where this seven gate system comes up, we have to work through some serious levels of distrust between the masculine and feminine forces. Because what I'm asking ladies to do, what I'm sharing with women to do, is to learn to bring their masculine counterpart, so their man on the outside, energetically into the womb space, into the Holy of Holies, the inner sanctum. And of course, if we've never really done that, you will no doubt begin to feel, even when you're listening to this seminar, I'm not sure I would actually like to do that. And of course, the masculine principle has the other fear. It's, do I really want to go in at that great depth? Do I really want to penetrate so deeply, so emotionally, so psychically into this woman? Because there are great fears in the masculine and feminine principle. Why not to engage at that great depth?
Ooh, yes. Wow, I really feel that, and I surely can relate to that in my own journey and the fears that I've had to work through. Can you tell us, how would you work with that then? Once we get to that place of seeing in ourselves, yes, this is the journey that I want, and falling into that place of recognizing the fear that we hold around it, a lot of which gets held in our bodies, then how would you have women work with that fear and move through it to go into that deeper place that you're talking about?
Well, when I'm working with women who aren't in partnership, I ask them to use their inner masculine to be able to navigate where this pain is, to be able to actually energetically link to the pain, whether it's distrust, jealousy, rage, polarity, you know, any of these things that play itself out in relationship. Then I would ask her to kind of release the inner masculine aspect and then actually enter the wound, penetrate the wound or the feeling, the emotion or the vision, however it is it reveals itself to you, and then become it. So embodiment is the feminine principle. And what we've been doing in the past, myself included, is just using the masculine principle. So I go inside and I see all this stuff, but all I do is look at it, and it's at arm's length. So the way I've been working and the men and women working with me, we actually embody, we breathe it into our sensory system. We engage, we sit right in the core of it. And obviously, we're actually looking for that grief or sorrow. And I actually believe that it's grief that is the only healing emotion. When we can actually get down to some really sincere tears, that is the washing away of the contracted energy. Mm. And so through the seven gate system, I call it the pilgrim's path. It's the pilgrim's path from the entrance of the yoni, or the entrance into the energetic lingam. So this is not a woman's thing. This is a man and woman's thing. And
right.
The sovereign, clean, innocent road through the genitals all the way back to the throne within the womb for the women, and the throne within the hara for the men. And all the way you're navigating and embodying the shadows, the emotions, the visions, until you can honestly say, yes, 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 I have walked through this threshold and I have sincerely grieved and retrieved every last drop of my sexual innocence. That's the end line. We are looking for a rebirth of sexual innocence. And that doesn't mean that you're shy or frigid or insecure and embarrassed. No, sexual innocence, I feel, is the original template. This is how we were in the Garden of Eden or paradise or whatever we want to call it.
Yes.
And this innocence is alive, it's passionate, it's desirous, it's free, it's unharnessed, it's glorious, and it's creative.
And so do you feel or do you find in working with people that sexual innocence actually lives inside of each of us and we all have the capacity to get to that place?
100% accurate. Yes. I have seen, and myself included, I have seen the most, let's just say, promiscuous of men and women. People who have worked in the sex trade, the sex industry, and they have reclaimed their sexual innocence. And their mind knows it, their heart knows it, their soul knows it. This is not some sort of like intention. The whole body lives and breathes this return to innocence. And I can't tell you, for me personally, how glorious that is to behold.
Wow, that is really powerful. And to think that we all can access that and live that in our lives is exciting.
Yeah. Yes, yes. I must say, when you're working alone, the pathway is relatively quick and pretty seamless and reasonably graceful. I must say, just to be authentic and true, that when you start working with your partner, that's when it can get a little bit more wild.
Uh-huh. Yes.
in all sincerity, when you start working with a live partner who also has the opposite intergender wounds, it's going to take time. Mm-hmm. It's going to take time, but every layer, every breath, every obstacle that is overcome brings you so, so deep into love and retrieving bit by bit that trust, that immaculate, impenetrable trust. So, I don't want people to kind of go into this with their partner and kind of go, whoa, this is intense. Yes, it's intense, but it is so worth it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, do you recommend to women that they begin the process on their own and then go into working with a partner, or do you find it can be just as effective to go straight into the work with a partner if you're already in a partnership with someone that you can trust in that way?
Exactly. If you're in a partnership and, you know they're your best friend, the trust is relatively good, it's easy between the two of you. I would say go for it. Go straight into working together. If you're in a new relationship or one that has severely broken down and, communication is poor, trust is questionable, I would say do the work by yourself. Get yourself really, really strong and anchored in this path and then introduce it to the partner.
Wow, this is all really, really powerful. And I'm wondering to myself as we're talking, I'm curious, can you tell us, I love what you described as being our sexual innocence, and I wonder if you can tell us, what was your journey like for you before you came into this place in yourself, and how do you experience yourself in your life now that you have deeply landed in this inner throne?
Well, for me, I kind of always had a reasonably open, warm, loving heart. during my 20s, I'm now in my 40s, during my 20s, I entered sexuality as my growing up playground. So I wasn't really into taking drugs. I wasn't into drinking alcohol. I wasn't chasing fame or fortune. Sexuality was where my playground was. And I was a rather promiscuous person in both the straight and the gay cultures. I really, truly experimented. During my 20s, I was a fashion designer in London. I worked with all the bands and the models. And as you know, if you work in that industry, sex is one of your biggest ways of learning how to relax. And so, because I had this big heart, I picked up so much guilt and shame doing what I was doing, yet at the same time being driven by this curiosity. Because, you know, I wasn't experimenting with drugs and alcohol and money. I was experimenting with sex. This was how I was, you know, learning who I was. And, of course, I went into some very dark and twisted places. And my heart was like, what are you doing? Why are you doing this? And yet the shadow side was like, come on, this is fun. This is great. And so as I began my spiritual path, in my late 20s, all I was interested in was returning to innocence. Every time anytime I heard the word innocence, I would cry because my soul was kind of beckoning me back to that place. And you know, there are no teachers out there. There's no books on how to return to sexual innocence. And because I'm pretty sure, because of, you know, the dark alleyways that I found myself in, psychically, because of my sexual adventures, it was no surprise to learn that I had developed quite a severe form of cervical cancer. Now, I knew that this was linked to my early 20s. I hadn't forgiven myself, basically, and I was carrying a lot of guilt and shame for all the adventures that I'd got up to. And so when I was writing the book Womb Wisdom, I had to apply immediately all the processes and practices that I was researching and studying from ancient Tibet, from ancient Egypt. I had to apply them to my own self immediately because I'd already had developed cancer. And so by throwing myself not only into the research aspect of Womb Wisdom, but also the experiential, you know, trying out these processes for myself firsthand, I was fully able to say, once I'd released all the rage, copious amounts of rage and self-betrayal that I felt seething in my body, I can honestly say I have returned back to a sexual innocence. And the way it feels like being totally comfortable in your body, comfortable with your yoni, comfortable with your womb, comfortable with your breasts, comfortable with any shape my body decides to become, totally comfortable with sexuality, comfortable with other women's sexuality, not afraid of the dark feminine, not afraid of the pure light feminine, not afraid whatsoever of any sexual expression I wish to give, receive, or witness.
Ah, wow, what a journey. Thank you so much for sharing that. I am imagining that a lot of our listeners can relate to many of the things that you said. I know in my own journey, I also went towards sexuality as my self-growth playground and place to work out what it is to be in this body, in this life, and I can really relate to what you named about having life take me to a point where I had to turn and address that seething rage and sense of self-betrayal. And really work on forgiving myself for the things that I had done and the ways that I had not in my way of looking at it, taking really good care of myself. Although I really also honor that journey as having been my search for ecstasy and my search for innocence, as you named it.
Yes.
Yeah, and I hear in what you're saying something that I find to be really common in my work with women and in my own journey as well, of this guilt and shame.
Yes.
Related to our sexuality and our sexual choices.
Yes.
And I think that can come in for any number of reasons. But I wonder, do you find in your work with the Seven Gates and with working with women, wisdom, and with women and men in those ways, that do you find that guilt and shame are kind of a base point where people begin? Is that the first kind of energy that we meet when we start looking at those things?
I would say guilt and shame and rage. So I would put it 50-50. It depends what you're it depends where you're at with these energies. If it's guilt and shame, you have yet to harness the anger. When you can feel the wrath, the anger, and the fury, you have already realized that you have guilt and shame. That's my very general explanation. Because it's one and the same. These energies are the same thing, but entering from different angles. Usually guilt and shame can be quite a dead expression. There's a deadness. There's a almost a disassociation in the body. And when your back's against the wall and you have to just, okay, you have to work with this now. This is a part that needs healing. There's nowhere else to turn. It's your time to enter into this sexual healing. First of all, there's a great deadness until you make contact, and then bam, then comes the guilt, then comes the anger and the fury. But at least when you're in the anger and the fury, at least you've made connection. You're moving those energies, you're arousing them, you're letting them breathe and sound through your body. So, and sometimes when you enter the wrath and the fury, you can then start feeling guilty and shameful for that.
And yeah, I guess.
Totally. And so that's how I work very closely with the men and women, just making sure that they're not accessing any guilt and shame for their anger. But instead, I'm loving their anger. I'm loving the expression. I'm encouraging them to love their expression. That it's not scary. You're not going to do any damage to self or the other. It really is quite simply noise. And once they realize that it's just noise, there seems to be like a freeing in the system, and that an allowance to let it flow out.
Yes, and that for me, I experience that when I let that rage move through me, I'm feeling something, as opposed to being in that. I love how you describe the sensation of guilt and shame as being kind of deadened, or as if there's not much sensation there, but rage has a definite energy that moves through the body.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And I think that, that's a big part of what we're talking about, to be in our authentic sexuality, our sexual innocence, our authentic expression of our sensuality is related to feeling. It's about feeling everything.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Consciously angry.
Yes, consciously, I love it. Consciously angry.
That's right. And, and this other term, hysteria, this act, and I've been looking at this is an aspect of the dark feminine. So it is an aspect of feminine nature to be able to go into hysteria or hysterical energy, which I can do, and I do it with consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
So hysteria really is chaos. And I say, if you're not harming yourself, and you're not harming others, then you can consciously enter all of these emotive expressions and release them or generate them, whatever you want to do. We are creation. The feminine principle is the creative gathering of forces. you know, we can look at Mount Pelee on Hawaii and go, wow, that's a very hysterical volcano. We're made of the same energies. Do you know what I mean? If nature does this, then surely we can be free enough to follow our mother. If our mother sets the template, this is what force looks like on this planet, mm-hmm. then why the heck are these human beings all just, you know, running around in these kind of suppressed expressions? And also another thing, we have to remember that expression, sexual expression and vocal expression is one and the same. You know, that is not an assumption. That is a fact. That is a fact. If you're working on sexual healing, please, please, please recognize you must be working on your throat and your freedom of speech at the same time.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, and women who are repressed in one of those or suppressed in one of those places tend to be in the other as well. Like, they are really definitely linked.
Yes. Uh-huh.
And so the more that we are in our creative life force sexual energy, and the more we've welcomed all of those aspects of ourselves and embraced them and freed up our energy for feeling enlivened, the more we're able to express through our throats and speak our truth and be heard and feel our own sense of empowerment that way.
Absolutely. Yep, you've hit the nail on the head.
Yes. And I love what you're talking about, too, with relating ourselves or thinking of ourselves as a force of nature.
Yeah. Yeah, this has been my latest sort of dropping into realizations. You know, just looking at nature, looking at the changeable aspects of nature on this planet and recognizing the feminine principle, whether it's within a man or a woman, because it's in both of us, the feminine principle, if you have a strong feminine principle, you are going to start operating like these forces of nature. One moment you're going to be warm and relaxing, the next moment it's raining and there's some wind, the next moment there's an eruption, a volcano, an earthquake, and that is just as it is. No self, no harm to self, no harm to other. It's part
right.
of the creative process.
Yes, and if we think about our history as women with the periods of time on the planet that we've gone through with women's nature being really shut down, you know, in horrific kinds of ways, and even the subtle ways that we shut it down in ourselves now.
Yes.
But like I'm thinking about hysteria and being, you know, put into a mental ward for being emotional. For instance.
That's right. Yeah.
And how we have this opportunity now that we have all of this wisdom available to us and all of these tools and practices available to us to really reclaim all of those things for ourselves and for our daughters and for women around us.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. So if you're talking to a woman who's beginning these processes in her life, or, you know, maybe she's had some processes already that have brought her to this point. Is your work with the Seven Gates the place that you would recommend that she start?
Definitely. Whenever a man or a woman, you know, comes to me after reading the books or being on the website a little bit, I always recommend the Seven Gates process first. Because, you know, this is the lowest part in our torso. So we know this is where the most dense energies are lying. Because I work in a threefold nature. I work with sexuality, intimacy of the heart, and soul union. So I'd never say, oh yes, let's start at the soul, or yes, let's start at the heart. Oh no, let's start with sexuality. Let this be our foundation upon which we open up the heart and reveal, you know, the more glorious aspects of the soul. If I can just take a moment to just very quickly take us through the seven gates, literally one word to describe them.
Oh, yes,
so please. So the first gate for the women is the lips of the yoni, the labia. And for the men, this is the perineum. And both these areas, the shadow element is mistrust or distrust of either. So it's always, again, a threefold lens. So it's either mistrust or distrust of sexual self, sexual, or sexual act that actually brought you into incarnation. So it's self, other, and divine. This is how we know we're working in an alchemical way, if we apply everything to the Trinity. So the second gate is the G-spot, or the prostate, in men. This harbors the shadow, is a like a jealousy, or an insecurity, or a self-comparison, or a competition. The shadow, so that's the shadow aspect. The grace, this is where I find that really sweet return to sexual innocence. So a sexual innocence is a grace. The grace of the first gate, I never said that, is this impeccable trust. So distrust turns into trust. Jealousy turns into innocence. The third gate for the women is the clitoris. For the men, this is the whole length and breadth of the lingam. The shadow is a fury, an anger, a wrath. And the grace for the women is a extremely heightened psychic sensitivity. I truly believe this was how the oracles of Delphi were actually inhaling those vapors, that it wasn't necessarily an inhalation into the nostrils, but more of an inhalation into the yoni, with the clitoris as the most subtle piece of apparatus that was truly able to read the information, the data within that vapor. Now, for the men, I'm waiting. I've got some men researching. For the men, I'm waiting. Is this true for the lingam? Would you say that this is a psychic piece of equipment? So when you sit on the earth, can you receive impression, visualization, audio, so words? Can you receive psychic information when you sit cross-legged on the earth, you know, nothing strange, fully clothed, like a yogi? Because I know that the women can. And I'm just trying to find out, can the men do this as well?
Mm-hmm.
For the fourth gate, this is the cervix, and for the men, this is the lips of the lingam, the tip of the lingam. This is where sexual polarity is at its most rampant. So this is, like I was explaining in my 20s, this is where we meet Lilith and Eve. And for the men, this is where you might meet archetypes like Pan and Christ. Basically, it's where you meet the animal with the sacred, the animal with the holy. The fifth gate, and the grace of that would be integration, so a total integration of those extreme polarities. The fifth gate, the shadow, is where we would find separation between masculine and feminine. And I've given it the an archetypal story of Lemuria to walk through that fifth gate so you can understand what I'm speaking about. Because the gates 1 to 4, this is the personal story. Gates 5, 6, and 7, this is the intergender woundings of the collective. So in here, I have inserted the archetypal story of the original separation within Lemuria. So the actual shift from androgyny into separate masculine and feminine physical forms. In the fifth gate, and the grace of that would be reunion, obviously. In the sixth gate, the shadow is what I've archetypically described as the abuse of power that we found in Atlantis. So the masculine distortion of power, and that's seated deep inside the womb. And finally, the seventh gate, the shadow element would be the feminine abuse of manipulation or sexuality or magic that we found in ancient Egypt. So basically, the deeper the masculine and the feminine come together energetically, they will start to unravel those three great big intergender wounds or battle scars from where we have severely done some damage to the opposite gender. And it's all there. It's in the archive. It's in the DNA.
Wow, that is really powerful.
Yeah.
I love what you've done with putting in the archetypical stories of those times on our planet and how easily we can see those things playing out in life today with, you know, what is the misuse of power by the masculine, what is the misuse of power by the feminine, and in some way or another, all of us know those things in our lives, whether that's, you know, been in our own personal lives or in things that we've mm-hmm. seen in other people's lives. And I love too that you're working with men with this work. I wonder how do you find that to be the same or different than what you do with women?
Well, there's two principal fears that prevent this great depth from being entered, you know, in relationship. For the feminine principle, so again, this could be men or women, for those who have the strong feminine principle, the reason why they won't go deeper into this work with the other, with their beloved, is because there is a ravaging wound, and it's the wound of abandonment. So the feminine principle, she doesn't want to go deeper. She doesn't want the other to come in too deep, to become too intimate, to get too close. And she wouldn't contemplate, whether it's a woman, on taking the masculine principle so deep into his womb, or if it's a feminine man, deep into his heart, because what stands between him and the living, what stands between the feminine principle and the living experience is this great, big, eternal abandonment. And this abandonment or this rejection or this casting out feeling is not just the sense of, I don't want to be with you anymore, the relationship is over. This abandonment is so huge that it feels like you get sent to the edge of the planet, and then this almighty force kicks you off, and you're free-falling throughout all time and space. And you're so lost, you're so, so forgotten and lost in exile that, you know, the Godhead cannot actually find you. That's how painful this abandonment can be, that you are just lost. Lost, forgotten about, disregarded, ignored, overlooked, that you never actually get picked up by the eyes of love again and taken back to your right place, whether it's the celestial kingdom, heaven, paradise, whatever it is. That is what is preventing the feminine principle from coming forward and going intimately deeper with the other. And for the masculine principle, what's preventing him is this overwhelming fear of being consumed or annihilated or taken or swallowed by the feminine principle. So he will hold the relationship at arm's length because he's telling himself, if I go really deep into this woman's womb or essence or deep, deep heart, my identity is going to be totally lost. My identity, my job, my career, my success, my lineage, my legacy, my status. And so he will stay at arm's length, terrified to go deeper, because he feels that this great love, this great intimacy will swallow him forever. Amen. So it's not a temporary loss of identity. It's an eternal loss of identity.
Ah.
Yeah. And this is where we are right now, 2013. Both of us looking at each other, wanting, needing to go into more of a conscious relationship, bored to tears with the old paradigm and their lack of fulfillment. And this is what we have to first realize, confess to one another, have great sympathy and compassion for one another, and that it's going to take time for these massive guardians of sacred union to be dissolved.
Yes, what a potent place we're all in right now as we look at this piece in front of us, to look at our own wounding, to know what the wounding of the other is, and to know that we're essentially on a precipice where we can leap off into a new experience as opposed to repeating those same old experiences.
Yes, exactly right. This is the raw, potent time that we're in right now.
Yes. So I am hearing and feeling with you right now that this work that you are doing with the seven gates for both women and men, I'm thinking both heterosexual couples and same gender couples, that this is a really potent piece towards our full embodiment, fully knowing the creative force of our sexuality and eventually how we can take that into heart connection and the expression of our souls with each other, but really getting down into these seven gates and moving through feeling, looking at and feeling all of the pieces of the wounding that's held there and how we can embody those things and move through them to create a deeper sense of our own passion and enlivenment and sensual expression, and at the same time take ourselves towards a deeper intimacy with the other.
Yes, beautifully said, Dinis. Yeah, that's exactly it. Yeah.
Thank you so much for sharing that. And Anaya, we have just a few moments left here together today, and I would love for you to speak to us a little bit about the Womb album. And I know you've got a free gift for us all, and I'd love for us to hear about that and where you can tell us.
Well, the Womb album is, I'm a little bit of a storyteller, and I often describe myself as an enchantress.
rightly so.
I was saying earlier about the connection between sexuality and expression. This has definitely been a recent gift. I'm able to somehow get myself into a very archetypal, spacious arena on the inside and speak from that place. So the Womb album, this is me guiding you through the inner navigatory processes and feelings and revealings along the way of the pilgrim's path of the seven gates. So this is not a flat experience. This is not like a shamanic journey, and this is absolutely not a learning experience, although all of those elements are there too. So when you play the Womb album, I will be with you moving your inner masculine and inner feminine through all seven gates or all seven veils. And because I'm in the experience, you'll be able to link with my voice so that you can go deeper into the experience, because that's where I am when I'm recording these albums. I'm actually in the energetic landscape of those seven gates, which we all share. So somehow the voice does something and you're able to link with it in a very, very deep way. So you will receive the theory, the understanding, the inner navigatory aspects of the seven gates, and you'll be able to penetrate the voluptuous, warm, transient fluidity of the palpable essence of the seven gates as well. So it's a two-way thing, masculine and feminine. And the more you do this, the more you'll be able to carve open that energetic pathway of yourself, being able to identify quite easily, you know, where you're coming from, whether you're sat in the second gate, fifth gate, seventh gate. And of course, you'll be able to hear the languaging of your partner and your girlfriends, who will also be able to indicate where they're at and where they would really benefit from working through. And so that is what I'm offering, the womb album, the journey through the seven gates.
Beautiful. And where can our listeners go to receive that gift from you?
That is on the website. So my website is AnayaSophia.com. And there is a store. There's a store there. And you will find the womb album in the store on my website.
Beautiful. Well, thank you again so much, Anaya, for being with us on the call today and for joining us on the Become Your Inner Siren Summit. I, again, am really grateful to you for what you're bringing to all of us and to the world through your work, and bringing us all the option to go deeper and deeper into those seven gates and into our wounds and our haras to be more sensual and more enlivened and to embody our sexual innocence. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're so welcome. I've enjoyed every nanosecond of talking with you.
Beautiful. Okay, thank you, and have a lovely day.
Thank you. You too.